Oh, there you go.
Yep.
Susie Sunshine back.
Yeah, and there's a big Uber IPO today. Bunch of celebrities getting richer. Ashton Kutcher, Beyonce, Leo DiCaprio.
But not what they thought it was going to be.
No.
Isn't that correct, Susan Schmidt from Big Investors?
Not richer, but not so much. Only because they were investors in it previously, not because the stock did great in the market today. So not a great stock to flip if you want to buy it at the IPO. It actually closed below the offering price.
Uh-oh.
I know, not good. We saw that with Lyft. You see a lot of volatility today in the market because of the China trade issues going on, so that's a whole other story. And then on the domestic front, Uber, obviously, big visibility. A lot of people paid attention, but not clear how that's going to be received by the market. It hasn't gone so well for Lyft, which IPO'd already. And, you know, we're having a lot of negative news around Uber. They're still not making a profit. How does this really work long term? Investors are getting more cautious around these things.
How is it possible they're not making money? What's
the
deal
there? It seems crazy, doesn't it? So we're not really sure, but scale is always important. Remember that, you know, on a positive comparison here, Amazon did not make money for a very, very long time. So a lot of these businesses are dependent on scale. They're dependent on, you know, overall adoption. And Uber still is a relatively new business that has a lot of growth ahead of it and potentially and is still, you know, growing up into its potential. So it's one that is a watch and wait. You need to believe in the story and the future of it to be confident as an investor now. And again, if you invested in it as a little company when it was just starting out and just an idea and were one of those individual investors before it was public, you might have done very well. Now that it's public, it's a little bit different story. And it's interesting because on that IPO, initial public offering market, the companies that are coming to market, we call them unicorns, the ones that are really, really big. Uber is an example of this. We didn't used to see them like that. We used to see them come to market when they were much smaller. We're seeing much larger issues, much larger sized companies coming out now. And that's kind of a new phenomenon in the tech world as well.
It's interesting. Ashton Kutcher famously was part of the first round of investors, put like, you know, $500,000 in and untold millions made by him. And you're right. Beyonce, apparently they hired her to perform a concert instead of getting her $6 million paycheck. She said, just give me, you know, shares in the company. So all of them are doing great because, as you said, They were there in the beginning, but you're right. It doesn't seem like this is really appealing to a lot of investors today.
Well, isn't it also true that companies, you know, they don't want to make a profit because then they have to pay taxes on the profit, right? I mean, that was the big story yesterday where Sam Zell came out and said, yeah, well, of course Donald Trump lost $1 billion. That's what developers do. They got to lose $1 billion.
They look for write-offs.
Yeah, they look to write things down. I mean, obviously that's, you know, your job is to go and look at these companies and figure out where the cash flow really is.
So exactly. There's a difference between earnings and cash flow. So earnings is what you report, and if you have earnings, you need to pay taxes on it. You have cash flow, which is hopefully higher than earnings, which is your money that's left in the till that comes through after your business is fully run through the process where you've sold your good, you've paid for whatever it took to make the good, and you paid the taxes on it. What's my cash flow left over? And so there is a difference between earnings as we treat it for accounting purposes and what gets taxed, and then cash flow. And businesses and investors look to cash flow. That's what they keep going. When you have a business like Uber, there isn't really a lot of cash flow because everything's being reinvested back in the company to grow it as part of its growth cycle. So it's one of those things here where now that it's public, people are going to be digging through the numbers very carefully, trying to figure out what's the tipping point, what can happen to this business that makes it become not only earnings positive, but cash flow positive. And that's going to be, you know, I think, the question for investors going forward. It's not everyone gets the opportunity to invest $500,000 early on. And remember, to get this opportunity, Ashton Kutcher probably invested $500,000 in a lot of other opportunities that turned out to be zero. Right?
I am sick and tired of talking about Ashton Kutcher. I don't think it's relevant right now.
He's become the poster child of these sort of tech companies, right?
Exactly.
But you know what? It's interesting.
He's our glamour tech investor,
the
right?
The CEO even said at the time he intentionally seeks out those people because he wants to drum up publicity around the sexiness of his tech firm.
Can I ask a question about it? So looks like the trade war is on for the moment, although we're going into a Friday. We can't start the trade war again until Monday. But As the Dow today, it took a 600-point pooper and then came back positive. It was up 100 points. What is going on?
Right. So let's go back to volatility. Volatility is here to stay. It's particularly here to stay when we get tweets and last-minute news about trade wars. Remember that a week ago, the market was largely expecting there to be some sort of resolution by today on the trade front between the U.S. and China. Sunday's tweet from last week set everything up into turmoil once again, and we saw pressure on the market throughout the week as people wondered what was really going to happen. The market's now back to thinking, well, it's a disaster within trade. That was how we started the morning. And then we finished the day saying, well, maybe it's not so bad, because both sides came out with positive comments saying that they're still in discussion. It wasn't a storming off and conversations have stopped. Instead, it was a, we'll continue to negotiate. We hope to have a resolution 3 to 4 weeks from now. And we both think that conversations were productive. So that brought a little more positive tone to it all. The market took confidence in that, and we saw a big spring back in the market. I think rule of thumb here is volatility is going to happen with comments like this. One sentence can change the entire tone of how people are investing and how they feel about it. We saw some $600 billion in market value get wiped out this week as we saw various points of concern over these trade discussions, and we're going to continue to see that. There'll be optimism and pessimism. Just be prepared and remember to look to the long term.
Of interest here in the Midwest, this certainly is harming agriculture, and the longer it drags on, will do so even more. The administration has pledged aid to farmers, and also there's some policy that they'd like to put into place to purchase back crops that China, to make up for what China would be buying in some of the losses to the farmers.
Right. Now, remember, Anna, we've heard about this before. When we first talked about getting tough with China, there was incredible pressure immediately on the soybean farmers, and farmers definitely felt it. So we saw that, and, you know, over a year ago, we were talking about this. Trump was also, and the Trump administration was out talking about aid to farmers, doing some relief on that, and it's a give and take because people realize that industries are going to get impacted. The farmers are acutely aware of this, and so there needs to be, when you're talking tough with China, at the same time, to keep domestic constituents happy, you have to be talking about, we understand we're going to hurt you in some way. We're going to try to make up for it as we go through these negotiations.
Hmm. Let's see. Let me just think about some farming states here. Let's see. Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa. Don't they have
there's something
kind of
important, really important there right early on in
that
the
goes
process
on in Iowa.
Yep.
Then, and so he's going to pay off the farmers. This is exactly the opposite of what all of the conservative economists have been preaching for decades. He's doing the exact opposite, and the conservative economists are going, oh, yeah, no, he's a genius, because they're afraid to tell him he's not a genius.
Well, it is interesting because the conservative economists, this is not how you support getting to price rationalization and capitalism in a market. And so what we're doing is supporting the farmers in a business model that may no longer be viable without government support if we continue with this hardline talk against China and depending on how these trade negotiations work out. So it really is not what Adam Smith would like to see. It is not a economic realization here of how things should go. But remember that these tweets and nothing here is set in stone. There's so many moving pieces, and that's the problem the market has with it, is the pieces seem to move frequently in large moves, and that's a big issue in trying to figure out valuations.
Yeah, it's going great. All right, thank you very much, Susie Sunshine. Susan Schmidt from Aviva Investors. Thank you.
Have a great weekend,
Susan.
My
pleasure. You too, guys. Bye.
All right, let's check in now with Kim. What's coming up in the news at the top of the hour?
Will he or won't he? Word on special counsel Robert Mueller's decision to testify before the House Judiciary Committee.